Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. That's where we find the verse, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. But that's not the topic this morning. We're going to go a little bit further. My message is, the just shall live by faith. And I want us to take a look at that this morning. So Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll begin reading verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. The writer of Hebrews has just talked about their suffering, affliction, being made a laughingstock in the world. And he's trying to encourage them to continue to trust in Jesus and rely on him. So he says to them, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which you have great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray. Our Father, We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to look into your word, and we pray for the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we all are your sheep. We need your guidance this morning, your help. We pray that you would draw us closer to yourself and to speak to us, Lord, about this need in our life. Help us, Lord, to learn something from your word. Learn more about Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Father, we also pray if there's any among us who are religious but lost, that you would help them to see that they need Christ Jesus as their personal Savior. And we pray that the Spirit of God would encourage them to come this morning. Help them to come to receive Jesus. Lord, bless us now. Speak to our hearts and open our understanding. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
There are four occasions in the Bible where we find this phrase, the just shall live by faith. That's unusual to find this repeated so often. And since it's repeated so often, you and I should realize that God has a really important message here for us.
Yeah.
If he's going to emphasize this over and over again, it has to be critical to our Christian life. It's not just a passing thought, but it's important that you as a believer realize you are justified in Christ, you're righteous. If you're saved, he's talking about you. And he's saying to you, if you're going to live this new life in Christ, that life has to be lived by faith.
Amen.
By relying on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him. So over and over again, he makes this appeal to us that we, the just, because of our faith in Christ, must live by that faith. What is the definition of faith? Well, we have the Bible definition. I plead with you not to listen to the world's definition.
Amen.
The atheist loves to mock God, and they even mock faith. And so the atheists say things like faith is a blind shot in the dark at nothing. The atheists also claim that without evidence, that faith is claiming without evidence something to be true. That's what the atheist says. It's true. You just claim it to be true, but you don't have no evidence for it. They also say faith is believing what you know is not true. I mean, they try every way to make sure they criticize your reliance on Jesus Christ. I don't know if y'all, when you were growing up, we have in our bulletin, you don't look like Superman, but there's a cartoon of Superman in there. How many of y'all ever watched Superman when you grew up? There was a villain to Superman, and it was Bizarro, right? And Bizarro, this is deep, you got to get a hold of this, help spiritually. Bizarro was the exact opposite of Superman. In fact, he lived on this planet, and the name of that planet is Earth spelled backwards, and there's no way that I'm going to attempt to say what that word would sound like. But everything's opposite. On his world, bad is good, wrong is right. And if you listen closely, in our day it's getting like that. Really, what someone says, the opposite usually is true. Be on guard about that, by the way. Isaiah 5 verse 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We live in that day, right? Where the Christian is the bigot. And everybody else is doing everything they ought to do. We live in a bizarro world. The strange thing about it is what the atheists say to criticize Christians, they're actually the ones that are guilty of that. Because they have faith in things that they don't know to be true. They are shooting in the dark at nothing. When it comes to the real critical, like, what, how did the world begin? We don't know. We think this happened, you know, a little dot, and it exploded, and, you know, where did humans come from? Well, it rained for millions of years on a rock, and then out of that was primordial soup, and something swim out of that. And they don't know, but they really pretend that they do. Don't let the world define your faith. Let the Bible define your faith. The Bible says about our faith in Hebrews 11:1 that it has substance and evidence. Mm-hmm. There is real truth behind our faith. We were looking on our Bible study on Wednesday night in the Gospel of John. And Jesus is saying, I came down from heaven and I'm telling you the things that I saw and I heard. The fact that Christ entered into the world, that God is with us, is not some flimsy fable. It is absolute truth. God entered into the world and he's declared unto us what he heard and he saw. That's why Jesus said, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Why? Because he was there, he heard it, and he saw it. I'm telling you that your faith is concrete. It is solid. When you believe on Christ, you're believing on the truth. And when you trust in the Word of God, you're trusting in the truth. So faith is substance and it's evidence. Remember, faith, the word substance means that which is actually exist. Confidence, assurance, it means reality. The word evidence, a proof, by that by which something can be proven. So we have facts and truth that you and I can base our eternal destiny on. We know that there's a heaven and hell. I don't have to see it to know it. God declared it's true, and it is true because God cannot lie. Amen. So you and I need to live by this confident faith in what God has made known to us. And it's interesting when you go to these four different times it's mentioned, it seems to be there's a message even where they're mentioned. One's mentioned in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, if you want to turn there, the Apostle Paul, I don't know exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews, so don't criticize me. Many people assume that Paul did. I wouldn't argue with that. If Paul did, he quoted, "The just shall live by faith," three times. If he didn't, he quoted it twice. Right? In Romans chapter 1, listen to verse 16 and 17. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," in verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Therein, the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So faith is required in salvation. If I'm going to have eternal life, the only way to possess eternal life is by putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot get to heaven any other way. I have eternal life. I live by faith. I have eternal life because I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, this world is working really hard to earn heaven. They're trying to get to heaven by being a good person. If you could get to heaven by being a good person, there would be no reason for Jesus to die on a cross. If you could get to heaven some other way other than Christ dying on the cross, there would be no reason for him to do that. God would have said, "This is the way. Just be good enough." He would not have sent his son if there was another way. Remember, even Jesus in the garden when he's facing the cross and he's facing the death, the cruel death of the cross, but also facing bearing your sins and my sins. That had to be a weighty time when Jesus was agonizing in the garden and he prayed three times, the gospels say, and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Don't you think if there was another way and the son was agonizing so intently that sweat was coming off of him as great drops of blood, don't you think the father would have said, son, you don't have to go to the cross. We'll find another way. But the fact that he prayed and agonized and still died on the cross should prove to all of us the only way to get forgiveness of our sins is through the blood Jesus shed at Calvary. And how do I access what he did at Calvary? How do I get the blood applied to my life? How do I receive Jesus as my Savior? The only way that I can do that, and the only way that you can do that, is by trusting in Jesus and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to the world, that sounds really silly and simple. But let me tell you something. If it was hard and difficult, you and I would miss out on it. He made salvation itself so simple that even a child could believe in Christ and be saved.
Yes, yes, yes.
You don't have to have a college education to understand the gospel, to believe in Christ and be saved. Even a child can receive Jesus and have eternal life. Amen? And it had to be that way.
Yes.
Because all men have an opportunity to be saved. And they too can believe in Christ and trust in Christ and rely on Christ. I know heaven is my eternal home. Preacher, how do you know that? Because I'm relying on what Jesus did at Calvary, not on myself.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? If I was relying on myself, I would spend eternity in hell. Because even after having the Spirit of God indwell me, when I received Christ as my Savior, I still am unfit for heaven. I still battle with the flesh. I still, sadly, sometimes yield to temptation and do wrong. If it was depending on me to get to heaven, I could not make it. You know what God requires in order for you to get into heaven? Perfect righteousness.
Perfect.
No sin at all.
You
say, preacher, none of us have a chance then. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? There's only one who never sinned a single time in thought, word, or deed, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so when I trust in Christ and I receive his righteousness, it's placed on my account. And when the Father sees me, he doesn't see all my sin. He sees the perfect, sinless righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I know heaven's my home because of the righteousness I've received by faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
You know what the devil loves to attack? He loves to attack your confidence in Jesus' salvation. And you know he can be, you know when he's attacking you because he starts getting you to look at yourself. And your failures and your sin and your weakness. And he says, are you sure you're going to go to heaven? And that's when you should just resist him and put it right back on him and say yes, because Jesus has paid the way for me. And so Paul says, the just live by faith. It takes faith in order for us to have salvation and eternal life. And then Paul wrote in Galatians, it takes faith in order for us to be sanctified. That is, to grow spiritually. Every single one of us are in a process of becoming like Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're lost, the first step is to trust him. Receive him. But after you receive him, we're all trying to grow so that we can become more like Christ in every way.
Yes,
yes. That we could act like Christ and think like Christ and talk like Christ and live like Christ. That's what our goal is to be conformed to the image of his son. And the Galatian churches were got off track. They stumbled.
Yes,
they had put their faith in Jesus for salvation, but they started looking at the law as a way to bring about perfection in their life. They said, since I'm saved now I can go to the law and I'll try to be good enough. I'll try to earn it. I'll try to become more holy by keeping commandments. And they were falling in the trap of relying on themselves again to change their own souls. This is the lesson that we all need to learn. That in order for us to grow, steadily grow, it is a deep reliance on Jesus to change us. It's not, I cannot overcome sin in my own power. I must have Jesus to help me overcome sin. He died not just for my past sins. Praise God, he died for my present struggle with sin. Amen? And thank the Lord, one day I will have no problem with sin no more because Jesus will free me from that forever. But while I'm in this world, this old vile body wants things that Christ doesn't want. And there's a real struggle there. And if I don't know how to live by faith, I'll never defeat my own flesh and Satan's temptation. I'll keep giving in and giving in and giving in. How can I grow and become a strong Christian? I become stronger when I grow in my dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't want you to become independent. He wants you to become more dependent.
Yes. Yes.
More relying, more trusting, a stronger faith, looking to Jesus for every aspect of your life. Trusting Him that He'll live His life through you and enable you to live in a way that pleases the Father.
Amen.
You want your light to shine bright? Then learn to live by faith.
Yes.
And trust Jesus to give you the power to live like you ought to live. Now, I think all of us have made this mistake.
Yeah.
After I was saved, I thought, okay, now it's up to me. And I would try real hard and I would fail miserably.
Yeah.
And can I say something to you? I thank God that I failed miserably. You say, why, preacher? Because if I had changed myself, I would still be trusting in myself. But when I realized after I was saved that I still couldn't do anything, I knew I still needed Jesus.
Yes,
you see that?
Amen.
I need Him to help me to stay away from sin. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from sin.
Yes, Lord.
I need His protection.
Yes.
But I also need His power when I'm confronted with sin to resist it.
Glory.
And I cannot defeat those temptations on my own. I am too weak. Remember Jesus told us in the Beatitudes,
yes,
blessed are the poor in spirit.
Yes.
He didn't say blessed are the poor. He said blessed are the poor in spirit. That's someone who is completely empty of his own self-reliance. He says, there's nothing I can do without the help of God. And by the way, we all know that's true.
Amen.
Really, we would confess that. I can't take my next breath without God's help. I mean, say amen to that. I can't.
Right.
A song we used to sing, hear sung all the time, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Have you ever heard that song?
Yes.
And we say, that's true. Well, we need to be more poor in spirit. Lord, I can't, but You can. And the more that we rely on Him, the more we'll live in victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil. We get into a mess when we're trusting in ourselves. Let a man take heed, and when he stands, lest he fall, right? You know, sometimes even Christians who have been matured to a certain level, they think, okay, I made it now. You have never made it until you make it home. Amen? Paul said to the Galatians, the just shall live by faith. If you go back to Galatians chapter 3, it's obvious he said to them, you received Christ by faith. Remember, you received the Spirit by faith. Now are you going to be made perfect through the works of the flesh? The obvious answer to Paul's questions there in Galatians chapter 3 is no. How can I perfect myself when I can't save myself? Listen to what he said in Galatians 3 verse 2. This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. And what is the answer to that? By hearing of faith. Amen? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You were so lost and on your way to hell, that's all the flesh could do. Then you trusted me, and now you're going to go back to the flesh? Don't make that mistake. So no wonder he concludes in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You see what he's doing? He said in Romans 1:17, you're saved by faith. In Galatians, he said, you are sanctified, made holy by that same faith, that confidence, reliance in Jesus Christ. And then here in Hebrews chapter 10, these Christians are facing difficulties and trials. Faith gets you through the struggles of life. That's the only way to face difficulties and struggles, is to face them relying on God. Knowing that God is a very present help in a time of need. Amen?
Amen.
You see these Christians in the book of Hebrews. Look at let me get back to Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 33. Partly whilst you were made a gainsaying stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly wish you become companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. He said, they put you on this. They put you in the middle of the Colosseum, and the entire crowd roared in mocking laughter at you. You were made a spectacle. How are you going to endure something like that? When they open the doors and the lions rush out, how are you going to stand firm in such a situation? I tell you this, it's not going to be because that you are willful and strong and proud and will not bend the knee no matter what men say. You're not going to stand during a time like that without the grace and power of God.
Amen. Glory to God.
And Paul's trying, or the writer of Hebrews is trying to encourage these believers, look, you're going through a terrible time. They come into your homes and took everything you possessed, robbed you blind, and you've been persecuted and put in prison and run from one town to the next. How are you going to continue to face difficulty after difficulty and battle after battle and struggle after struggle and loss after loss? How do you live in a world that is anti-Christ, with a devil that hates Jesus so much and even your own flesh that fights so often? How are you going to do that? By faith in Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that you get into the Word of God and grow that faith and mature that faith. That when you face difficulties in life, that you learn how to face those difficulties leaning on the everlasting arms of God. You see, what God does for us is sometimes He allows little problems to come up in our life. And you know what the mistake we make with little problems? They're little, so we take care of them. Who needs God for little problems? And then a bigger problem comes. And we've got so used to dealing with little problems on our own that we start trying to deal with the bigger problems on our own. And then we face the major problem and we say, oh God, I need your help. The truth is, way back when you had the little problem, oh God, I need your help. And we need to learn in the small problems of life to look to Jesus and say, Jesus, please live your life through me and help me in this.
Amen.
You went in the store the other day and you had a cashier that worked long hours and she was tired and a little bit rude and she may have said something kind of off-putting to you and your temptation was to give it back to her. And God says, no, let me handle this. Trust me in this.
Amen.
We always use the illustration, someone cuts you off in traffic and the temptation is to cut them off. They put the brakes in front of you. Well, you work hard to get around them and get in front of them so you do the same thing. Well, you ought to say, Jesus, help me here.
Amen.
Don't let me give into that.
Amen.
Why should you do that? Because I'm telling you, they're coming down the road some really big issues in life. And the only way you're going to be able to handle them rightly is that you've learned by faith to handle these other issues along the way. Don't you marvel at how Jesus was maturing the faith of his disciples? He would give them one test and a bigger test and then a much bigger test. You know, he's doing the same thing in your life.
Amen.
It takes reliance on Jesus to get through the hard times in life.
Amen.
Persecution.
Yes.
Struggles. Loss. Look to Jesus. I promise you, Jesus is willing and able to help you. Amen? Trust him. He's not on the backside of the universe hiding from his children. No. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen? And then the original statement, the just shall live by faith, found in the book of Habakkuk. And I hope I'm saying that right. Habakkuk. You know, that's an unusual book, Habakkuk.
Yes, it is.
Because a prophet is not pleading with the people to get right with God. The prophet is pleading with God and saying, God, why are you allowing these things to happen? It's really an unusual book. God is using the Babylonians to chasten Israel because of their repeated idolatry and refusal to repent. And God had promised if they gave themselves to false gods that he was going to remove them from the land.
Right.
And because God cannot lie, that's what he's going to do. And Habakkuk sees the Babylonians, the evil, evil Babylonians coming in. And they're doing atrocities and terrible things. And how could God allow these wicked people to come and do such awful things to his own children, Israel? And Habakkuk was stymied. You know, it takes faith in the times when you just don't know what in the world is going on. We're not in that right now, but all over the world there are people that are just in a terrible situation.
Yes.
We've got Christian brothers and sisters in Nigeria. And they are being hunted and killed and
yes.
Churches are burned. And they're looking at what's going on and they're saying, God, where are you? What's going on? Why are we in this situation? We need help and they don't know what to do. And you know what you need when you don't know what to do and everything looks wrong and it looks like that God has gone on a vacation somewhere? You need faith.
Yes, you do. Amen.
Because we don't have all the answers. We might as well admit that.
Amen.
There are things that happen in life and we don't know why. And can I say something to you? We may never know why until we get to heaven. And we really think the opposite should have happened. You know, we are tempted like the psalmist. We look at the wealthy in the world and they seem to be doing just great and going anywhere they want, buying all that they want. And we're here struggling and we're like, Lord, why do evil men prosper when your own children could hardly put bread on the table? Why is that the case? You know what you have to do in situations like that? You have to rely on the character of God. What do you do when you don't know what to do? I have faith. I know that God loves me. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because Jesus died for my sins at Calvary. I don't know why things have happened in my life the way they've happened. I think my wife and my children have a harder time with that than I do. And when somebody you love is going through some tough things, that is hard to be watching all that they're going through and saying, God, why? And sometimes it is very confusing. But you know what you have to do in those times? You have to rely on God and trust in God and know God. And I'm nowhere near like Job. I wish that God could write about me that he was perfect and upright, and you know, even before the Holy Ghost was sent into the world. That's an amazing statement about Job, isn't it?
Yeah.
Could you imagine Job? I mean, everything's falling apart. It's all his wealth is lost. His children have, I mean, everything is just gone. And yet, what does Job do? He says, I'm going to trust God. And you know what, Habakkuk got to a point as he was talking with God about the evil Babylonians and all the atrocities they were, you know, Habakkuk got to the point and he said, the first time it's mentioned in the Bible, the just shall live by faith.
Yes.
Said, God, I don't understand. I don't know why this is going on like it's going on, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you.
Yes.
I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm not going to walk away from you. I am going to trust you.
Amen.
And friends, you need to do the exact same thing. Because I promise you this, there are going to come times in your life, it's going to be the same way with
exactly.
You.
Exactly.
Yes. And a preacher comes, he tries to help you, and he says to you, brother, I don't know what to say. I don't know why God did this.
Yeah.
But I do know this. God loves you.
Amen.
And God cannot make a mistake. Amen?
Amen.
So whatever he's doing a work. And it may not even be something that you experience, your own self. He may be working on in your life because he's working on somebody else.
Yeah.
And when God is doing that, I'm saying to you, you just have to say, God, I'm going to continue to trust in you.
Yeah.
And in that faith will get you through times where you're absolutely confused. And one morning you'll get up, the sun will shine again.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
The just shall live by faith. It takes faith to be saved.
Yes, it does. Every day.
Takes faith to be saved.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith. It takes faith to grow, to become like Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If you're not exercising that faith in sanctification, you're going to be stuck.
Amen.
You may be stuck in childhood, Christian childhood. Way too long. You need to be exercising faith. God, I got to grow. My prayer life has to change. Help me with that.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm not witnessing like I should. Please make me what I need to be. And relying on Jesus to help you to become the Christian you know that you ought to be. It takes faith when you're suffering persecution and trials and difficulties.
Yeah.
When the world's laughing at you, it takes faith to hold your head up high and say, I belong to Jesus Christ. And when you just don't know what's going on and you're confused, guess what? It takes faith in God to get through difficult times of confusion.
Yes.
I promise you this, one day God will give you an answer.
Yes, he will.
It may be when you meet him face to face, but one day he'll give an answer. Amen?
Yes.
Please, this morning, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You've never received Christ You never put your faith in Christ. Would you come this morning and receive Him before it's too late? And you're a Christian, please. If you need help to overcome sin, won't you come to the altar and begin saying, God, I have a problem in this sin area. I need your help. Show me how to get victory. Or maybe you're suffering, struggling, and persecution, difficulties. Come and say, Jesus, I'm trusting you in this. Maybe you're in a time where you just don't know what's going on. It'd be good to come to your altar and say, God, I don't have any answers. I don't know what's going on in my life, but I want you to know something. I trust you. Yeah. Amen? Would you do that this morning? Let Jesus have His way in your heart, please. Yeah. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father, please help us. Let the Holy Spirit.